A thing that looks like a police box standing in a junkyard. It can move anywhere.
Haven, concentrate on Sin. Give priority to the detectors and the navigation systems.
There is a corridor. And the corridor is time. It surrounds all things.
On display, I eventually had to go down to the cellar. That's the display department. With a torch. The lights are probably gone. So had the stairs.
Yours is number 6.
I am not a number. I am a person.
Welcome to British Invaders, episode 254. This is the podcast all about British science fiction television, and this time we are talking about Cruise of the Gods. This is Brian from Canada.
And this is Eamon from England. Hello.
This was a 90-minute special from the BBC from 2002, and it's a humorous show, a sort of comedy, about an obsessive fan club for a cult science fiction show from the 1980s. So we're going a little bit into meta science fiction, a show about a fictional science fiction show.
Yes, which has got, I guess, some things to say about television science fiction, and in particular the fans, about, you know, which we count ourselves among them. And there'll be some fun to be had with the fan club of this fictional TV show, coming into contact with some of the actors from that show on a literal cruise. So, and of course, it will feature some of Britain's top comedy actors, some very famous names, taking some gentle pokes both at their own personas, but also at the sort of television science fiction genre as well.
Yes, absolutely.
So let's get straight to the setup. We have Andy Van Allen is a down on his luck actor, who's actually working now as a hotel porter, it would seem. His best remembered role was as one of the leads in an 80s science fiction show called The Children of Castor. He is trying to get some new work. He's always ringing up his agent. And finally, he agrees, because he's obviously down on his uppers, to go on a fan cruise for the fan club of the Children of Castor as a way of making ends meet. But he's not entirely enthusiastic about the prospect, Brian.
That's right. And of course, it deals with the obsessive fans driving him to distraction and, causing all sorts of problems with him. Meanwhile, one of the other actors from the same show has gone on to more success, and there is some jealousy there, of course.
Yes, absolutely. We'll find out, you know, very shortly that one of his fellow actors has achieved the sort of fame and celebrity that he so desperately sort of yearns for himself. But there you go. So it's an interesting setup, a show about a show. We've mentioned the initial characters. We've mentioned Andy Van Allen, played by a British comic actor, Rob Brydon. And Andy Van Allen played the character Romac in the 1982 TV series. And now, of course, Andy is 20 years older. He's jaded. He's world weary. The acting career never really took off as he hoped it would. He never became famous. And he's a rather sort of downtrodden and not entirely, as we said, not an enthusiastic character. Life's been somewhat tricky for him.
Yes, that's right. Because we're talking about a show that deals with actors, we have the three levels of an actor playing a character playing another character, with Rob Brydon playing Andy Van Allen playing Romac.
Yep.
We also have Nick Lee, played by Steve Coogan, who played Damsar in The Children of Castor. And for him, that show was only the start of bigger and better things. And he has gone on to play Sherlock Holmes in Miami.
Yes, another sort of slightly strange looking television show, which we'll perhaps say a few words about as we go on. Yes, it doesn't. Sherlock Holmes in Miami doesn't look to be a great show either, does it, Brian?
That's right. And they did have some fun with that one as well, for sure.
Yeah, but it is much more successful. And as you say, Nick Lee is famous and he's on American television.
Yeah. Jeff Monks, played by David Walliams, is the organizer of the fan club and is very obsessive about not only the show, but about the fan club itself and the schedules and having everything organized just perfectly.
Yes, quite a good comic term by David Walliams. You know, a very familiar presence. He's been in New Doctor Who. Of course, he's famous for Little Britain, which was voiced, had the voiceovers done by Tom Baker himself. And here he turns in a very sort of nerdy turn as the obsessive president of the fan club. And he's assisted by a much more shy and introverted character, Russell, played by quite a young James Corden, you know, another comic actor who's gone on to bigger and better things, famous on this side of the pond for Gavin and Stacey. But now on American television, he's quite a big star, I gather, Brian, because he has his own talk show, doesn't he?
That's right. And of course, he also had a turn in Doctor Who in a couple episodes with the 11th Doctor.
That's right, in The Lodger. I do remember that with the 11th Doctor, yes. So here he is, James Corden playing Russell, put upon, shy, very, very quiet, says very little in the first half of this show, but later on he will get to open up a bit and then we'll find out much more about his character and some important stuff.
That's right. Hugh Bispham, played by Philip Jackson, is the writer of The Children of Castor. And he is even more cynical and tired than Andy Van Allen is. And he enjoys his drink. He's clearly quite a heavy drinker and something of a washed up character who apparently didn't achieve all that much as a writer, but will talk a big game about it when he's talking to the fans.
Yes. Now, the actor Philip Jackson, I remember, I think, Brian, we saw him being consumed by haunted wainscoting in Mark Gatiss's Crooked House.
Oh, that's right.
But yeah, here he is. He is so, so cynical. And when it is actually quite funny because the fans keep asking him all these questions about apparent continuity errors between episodes of the show and why one episode ended so abruptly and where he got the names from. And of course, as the show goes on, we get the answers to some of these questions and they're really quite trivial and mundane and not the theories, not the fan theories behind them that he finds so amusing in a way.
But he will sometimes give the fans this highbrow, complex reason when we know that it was this simple reason relating to his own life.
Yeah, absolutely. So we've got to talk about the show, The Children of Castor. This is the fictional show that the fans are so obsessed with on the Cruise of the Gods. So I'll begin with the voiceover. Lester, 1982, a school rock band heads into an underground studio. And then from then on, things all go terribly wrong. There's a nuclear mistake in America, which leads to detonation of nuclear weapons, which rather unbelievably send the continent of America spinning off into space. And in the voiceover for the show, splitting America from the Earth like the twins Castor and Pollux, which is where we get the children of Castor stuck, you know, left behind on Earth.
It's a very bizarre idea, and deliberately so, of course. So back on Earth, these very 1980s teen rockers emerge from their underground studio and find themselves as the only surviving humans battling against mutated remnants of humanity.
Yep, great stuff. completely bizarre concept, but there you go, yep.
Yeah, they have weird concepts about vegetables and potatoes and, you know, these strange purity ideas about avoiding radiation and things. They have bow weapons as bow and arrow like, but made from a modified Stratocaster electric guitar. So just these very odd, over the top, allegedly 1980s ideas.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, as you say, the survivors are the pure, and they keep stressing this purity concept against the mutoids. And to do so, they seem to have, they've done this thing where they've inked the letters purity on their sort of fingers and then hold their two hands together to make up the word purity and shout it out as a sort of protective chant almost. And of course, along the way, all of this will allow Rob Brydon and Steve Coogan to make fun of their own acting personas, but also to make fun, let's be honest, of TV science fiction and of the fan clubs that follow them.
Very much so.
Very much so, yes. Because it's a show about actors playing actors playing actors, we also get a couple of cameos from real-life celebrities playing themselves. So in the opening sequence, we see the British comedian Brian Connolly interacting with Andy Van Allen. And then it's quite fun on the cruise itself because on board this huge cruise liner, there are several fan clubs meeting with some of their celebrity idols. So the Jack Jones fan club are on board. Jack Jones being a very well-known singer, a sort of lounge singer, and he appears as himself in a couple of quite funny sequences, I think, with Andy Van Allen. He plays himself very well, and those two scenes I thought worked quite well.
Yes, that was quite neat, actually, having Jack Jones in this. And they did a nice job, and he did a nice job with the part they had there.
And there's also, there's almost blink and you'll miss it, very early appearance by a quite young Russell Brand, another British comedian that's gone on to sort of bigger and better and more controversial things. But here he is playing a member of the fan club, and it's him who gets to come and ask the writer, Hugh Bisfam, this question about the abrupt ending to one of the episodes, allowing Hugh to give this very elaborate, extensive and completely made up explanation for why that episode ended so suddenly, when you get the impression, I don't think it's actually said, Brian, but you get the impression that it was more a case of missing pages, or he hadn't finished the script on time or something like that. It's probably the real truth behind it.
Oh, they did tell you the real reason behind it, then yeah, it was more along those lines.
Right.
So we should get into our production notes. Cruise of the Gods was produced by Henry Normal's Baby Cow Production Company, with Alison MacPhail as producer. It was written by Tim Firth, best known for the play and the film Calendar Girls. It was originally intended as a stage play for the Domnar Theatre in London, but it was picked up by the BBC as a Christmas special.
So as you say, Tim Firth is the writer, but he also has additional material written by a British science fiction writer called Michael Marshall Smith, and also by the Alan Partridge writer Peter Bainham, helping out with the script when it's made the jump from a possible play to an actual television film. Directed for the screen by Declan Lowney, who is best known as the director of the superlative Father Ted comedy show over here in Britain. And another interesting production note, which came from both Tim Firth's website and one of the commentary tracks on the DVD, was that originally they'd cast Steve Coogan and Rob Brydon the other way round. But it was Coogan who suggested that he play slightly against type and not be the celebrity who wanted greater things and never quite got them, like Alan Partridge, perhaps a character he's more familiar as. And instead he'd play the more successful Nick Lee, which is, I think, quite interesting, which we'll talk about in our next episode, because, as we'll discuss, Rob Brydon and Steve Coogan have now appeared in quite a number of things together, where they have sort of played almost fictionalized versions of themselves as actors, Brian.
Yeah, it is interesting the take on things they have there. According to Tim Firth, the writer's website, the show was filmed on board the Olympic Voyager cruise ship, so quite convincing being a real cruise ship. And it actually suffered a crash of some sort, damaging its hull. And filming had to continue when the ship was in dry dock in Athens. So some of it was on board, you know, was done on the ship, but while it was in dry dock. And then some of it was also done in Shepperton Studios on set.
Yeah, it's interesting that they've got to deal with an actual crash and as a result be doing some filming, presumably mostly indoors on board the boat while it's in dry dock being repaired.
Yeah, very strange. Cruise of the Gods was broadcast on BBC Two on December 23rd, 2002.
And it was successful enough that both Rob Brydon and Steve Coogan were actually nominated for British Comedy Awards for their roles in this show. And Steve Coogan won, which is slightly ironic considering that his character is the more successful in the show anyway. But there you go. Steve Coogan's character and his performance won out at the British Comedy Awards in 2003.
So maybe playing against type worked for him there.
Absolutely. Absolutely, yes. So, if you want to watch Cruise of the Gods, if you've not done so already, it is available in Region 2. Came out very quickly on a BBC DVD in 2003. You'll find some outtakes as extras, some deleted scenes with a commentary on the actual film itself from director, producer and writer. That's Declan Lowry, Tim Firth and Alison MacPhail. There's also a 30-minute video diary produced by one of the production runners, and that does, in fact, include some footage taken just after this cruise liner had to swerve to avoid a small ship in its path, and in doing so had struck some rocks and damaged the hull. So it apparently it's a completely true story from the production, Brian. You know, they did actually have to put in support for repairs while they were on board filming.
I think that's a first for shows we've covered.
Yep. There's also an alternative ending, which you can watch, which is a sort of joke being played on the Andy Van Allen character, Rob Brydon's character. But it does sort of take away slightly from the sort of slightly more satisfying ending that he achieved in the regular show. So, but there it is. It's on board. So there's plenty of stuff. There's even on the DVD, would you believe, a complete script for one episode of The Children of Custer written by Tim Firth and Michael Marshall Smith. So you could actually read a whole episode of this terrible TV show if you so wanted.
Wow.
Yeah, I haven't done so, but there it is. Anyway, Cruise of the Gods, Region 2, DVD box set or a DVD set, £5 on Amazon, complete bargain. Even cheaper, if you just want to watch the show itself and not bother with any of the extras, you can get the show for £1.89 on Amazon Instant, which for 90 minutes featuring, you know, talent like Brydon, Coogan, David Walliams and James Corden, that's not bad value, really. However, over in Region 1...
In Region 1, there is no release. However, the Region 2 import is available for $4.50 on Amazon.com and $7.50 on Amazon.ca. So if you can play a Region 2 disc, it's a pretty good deal to pick it up.
Okay, not too bad.
And I believe BBC Comedy on their YouTube channel has some clips there as well.
Yes, little snippets and trailers from official BBC Comedy. So, you know, they're legit to go and watch if you want to get a few ideas about this show before you lay out your £1.89 over here in Region 2. So, yeah, worth looking at that from BBC Comedy. So that'll do us for Cruise of the Gods and The Children of Custer Part 1. Next time we'll come back and talk about some of the influences and references that made up this rather splendid 1980s TV show that never was. And we'll get into, as I've suggested, a little bit about the comedy pairing of Rob Brydon and Steve Coogan, because this is sort of, I think, the first time they became a double act, which has gone on to some interesting stuff since.
Oh, interesting. Plus, we'll also ask the question, were they laughing with us or laughing at us?
It's a big question, and we'll be coming back to that one.
It is, for sure.
And, of course, we'll review and give our recommendations on whether you should buy this DVD or lay out your £1.89 on watching it on instant rather than buying that cup of coffee that day. So plenty of stuff to get to when we come back next time, Brian.
Definitely plenty to talk about. So until next time, you can find us at BritishInvaders.com with all of our back episodes there. Or you can search for British Invaders on Facebook and find our Facebook group and join our discussions there, which are always fun.
Yes, they are. It's a very enjoyable Facebook group with people posting all sorts of interesting stuff. And you can find us as proud members of the Voice of Geeks internet radio network. Check out all of the geek-related shows at vognetwork.com.
So, thank you for listening, and this is Brian from Canada, signing off.
Yes, thank you very much indeed, and until we're next back to talk about The Children of Castor, it's Eamon in England also signing off.